We're on page Yud Dalet in the Tomer Dvora. Lachzik La'adapo. The fifth attribute of the Ribbono Shel Olam is that he doesn't maintain his anger. He lets go. Zo midah acheret. This is another trait. Shafilu adam machzik bechet. Even though a person will continue doing what's wrong, he continues transgressing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu machzik af. Even though the person keeps doing what's wrong, Hashem does not continue being upset at him. V'imechzik lo la'ad, and even though Hashem may maintain his anger for a period, it's not forever. Ela yivatel kaso afilu shlo yishuv ha'adam. There comes a point where Hashem says, I'm not going to be upset anymore. So we have a kid that steals nash, gets up in the middle of the night and comes into our bed about four times a night, he wakes me. Does all kinds of troubles, and today he caused us damages in the excess of 4,000 shekel in the house. So what do you do now? My wife just told me this on my way here tonight. Okay, so what do? I said to my wife, he needs more love. He might need more discipline, but he also needs more love. So he went further than he did before, right? So he's gone another step. He's gone another step, and maybe that means I have to take a step back and I have to give him more warmth. Oh, I have to discipline him, but maybe he's too little. Maybe I'm expecting too much. Maybe I have to find a way to give him both, the discipline and the love. But before I think about the discipline, I have to think about, okay, the kid needs more love. He did something wrong, but what he did wrong, he didn't know the repercussions would be such a damage to the house. He couldn't have known that, right? It's a little kid. Okay, so then what's the conclusion? Sometimes someone does something wrong to us, and then they do more wrong to us. So what do? We get more upset. Now I'm going to show them, and I'm going to teach them. Wait, and what would be if I would work the other way? You hire someone. I'll take a small example. You hire a plumber. And story that happened to me, not with a plumber. I don't remember. Yeah, it was a plumber. The guy says he'll be there at 10 in the morning. So I don't leave the house. I'm there at 10 in the morning. By 10:30, he doesn't show. I call him up. He says, I'm just around the corner. I'll be there within the next half hour. I wait till 11. 11, he doesn't show up. This time, I'm not waiting a half hour. By 11:10, I call him, and he says, you know, I'm being detained at a job that's just up the block from you. I'm right here. Any minute now, I'm going to finish and be by you. Comes 12:30, and he hasn't shown. And I call him up, and I say, you know, you said you'd be here this morning at 10:30. What's going on? He says, you know, I'm almost there. To make a long story short, the whole day finished and he never showed. Now you ruined my day. I spent the whole day at home waiting for him. He kept saying, I'm coming. So now, the next day, what are we going to do? So you could say, I'm calling another plumber. You could say, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You could say, I'm going to call him gently and say, look, I know you have good intentions and I know you must be a very nice person and you probably invest a lot in doing the job right because you didn't want to leave the other job till you finished it. But I want you to also realize what that did to me today. And as such, I won't be able to continue using your services, but I want you to be aware of it because in the future, you might want to think of telling someone, I'll call you when I'm 15 minutes away. There might be other solutions that won't destroy your reputation and destroy someone else's day. If you care about the person, you don't have to yell at them, but you might be able to caringly teach them something. Maybe, maybe not. But the question is, do you care? Or is the only emotion, I'm upset. What he did is dead wrong. He ruined my day. So now I'm either going to forget it, I'm going to hire someone else, or I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. But am I thinking of him at all? Or is my thought focused on me? Look at what he did to me. And as such, I am going to teach him. The Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us what it means to care about someone else, to be bigger than the issue, be bigger than the problem I'm facing right now. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I hold it against the person when he's done something wrong, but there comes a point where I say, I'm not going to keep getting upset at the person. Ela yivatel kaso afilu shlo yishuv ha'adam. Hashem annuls his anger even though a person repeatedly does what's wrong and does not do tshuva. Kamo shematzinu b'imei Yerovam ben Yoash. In Kings, we learn about a king called Yerovam, the son of Yoash, shechzir HaKadosh Baruch Hu gvul Yisrael. In his days, Hashem allowed us to reconquer, to reestablish our borders. And in those days, the Jews did not repent. They continued their pagan ways. Hashem had mercy over them, even though they did not repent. So then why the mercy? That's this trait. Hashem doesn't maintain his anger forever. On the contrary, Hashem lessens his anger. Even though what they've done wrong is continuing, Hashem doesn't punish, Ela mitzapeh umrachem ulay yashuvu. Hashem's anticipation and mercy expresses the feeling, I hope, maybe, they will repent. The Hainu, that's what the verse says in Psalms, Lo lanetzach yariv, Hashem doesn't fight forever, Velo lolam yitor, and Hashem doesn't maintain the grudge forever, Ela kadosh baruch hu mitneg berakut uvkashut. Hashem treats us gently and toughly, Hakol letovat Yisrael. All with the same thought, what's good for them? If Hashem is tough with us, it's because it's good for us. I quoted a friend of mine was fired, and I met him right afterwards. I asked him, how are you dealing with it? And he said a beautiful line. He said, we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes gives us a kick, but he's not kicking us into the ground. He's kicking us forward. He's giving us a kick to move forward. So yeah, it's never fun to get a kick, but obviously it means I have to take steps forward. So that's what I'm trying to do. So when Hashem treats us both toughly or gently, it depends on what's good for us. This is a fitting trait that man should adopt in dealing with his friends. Even though you're allowed to punish severely, if it's your friend that did something wrong, if it's your kids, and they'll learn their lesson, that's not a reason to go and rebuke again and again or maintain anger, even though a person got angry. A person has to know that the anger has to come to an end, and you don't hold on to that anger. Even if it's a time where you're allowed to get angry. How many times do you have families that this one won't sit next to that one? I came to a shul, and I found a seat, and then someone comes and says, you know, that's my seat. I say, okay, I'll move. He says, no, I'll find the seats, no problem. But if you're going to be a steady at this shul, so that's the place I usually sit at. So I said, okay, but I don't mind moving. He said, no, I'll sit down. And he starts looking around, and I say, look, if you don't mind, I'm here with a few kids. It's easier for me to stay here because I have room for the kids. But I have a seat right there. There is a seat there that you could sit. I saw an empty seat. And the guy says, no, I can't sit there. I said, why not? He says, I won't sit next to the guy that's sitting next to that seat. So I took a step back, and he seemed like a nice guy until that moment. So his son whispers to me, and he says, he doesn't even remember why he won't sit next to him, but he knows that his father wouldn't sit next to that guy's father, so he won't sit next to him either, and he doesn't know why. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, talk about holding on to anger.
And what you said last,
I'm not going to sit next to him, but I don't know why, but I'm going to maintain the anger. How many times do family feuds go on? I won't go to their simcha. They didn't come to my simcha. People have arguments about inheritance, and that's it. The family split forever. Why? Even if they did something wrong, comes this trait and tells you they did something wrong. They're continuing to do something wrong. There has to be a limit to your anger. What is your anger representing? Ke'en she'pirshu, as our sages explained, Kitrecha moso na'achar ovetz tachat masa'o. The verse describes, you'll see your enemy's donkey, and it's squatting, and it's suffering under the load, and the Torah says, go quickly and help him. Our sages said, wait a second, what does that mean, your enemy? How does a Jew have an enemy? Who is that enemy? The Talmud asks, Maya sinazot, what hatred is the verse talking about? The answer, says the Talmud, is, Shirauto veravira, you saw the man doing something wrong. You were in the room and you saw him steal. You were in the room and you saw him eat on Yom Kippur. You said, hey, it's Yom Kippur. And the guy smiles and goes, shh. You say, what do you mean, shh? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. He says, I won't tell and you won't tell. And you say, well, I can't. Legally, I have no one to tell. And a single witness is not allowed to give testimony. What am I supposed to do? But it's wrong. You're alone. You can't give testimony. You see the guy steal and you can't give testimony. So the hatred you have is because you've seen him do things that are wrong and you can't do anything about it. That's called someone you hate. You're not supposed to hate a person. Stop. But if you know that that's what he's done and you can't stop him, Tafidu hachi, nonetheless, comes the Torah and tells you, you're walking down the street, you see a donkey suffering under its load, go and help. Torah didn't say that. The Torah said, you're walking down the street, you see your enemy's donkey. Who's the enemy, explains the Talmud? It's that guy. That guy, you saw him do all that, and right now the Torah says, yeah, you might hate him legitimately. Nonetheless, v'afidu hachi amirat Torah azov te'azov imo. Torah says, go help him out. And the wording of the Torah is azov. Azov could mean leave. Azov could mean assist. So our sages say, the wording has that dual meaning. The Torah was saying, leave the hatred that you have in your heart and go and assist him. That's why the Torah used a word that has dual meaning. Shvok yativ libach, let go of what's in your heart. Ela mitzvah lekarev to be'ava. The Torah taught us, you should bring him close with love. Ulay yo'il b'derech zeh. Maybe this is what's going to help. V'haynu mamash midazo. That's this trait. Lachzik la'adapo. You don't hold on to your anger. He's doing what's wrong. But maybe we still have to find a way to approach him, to help him out, and maybe that's what's going to bring him back. So we very often have principles. You know, your neighbor mows his lawn every week, and every week some of that grass flies onto your lawn, and you ask him, could you collect it? And every week he says yes and does no. Your neighbor's kids run around and they destroy the flowers you plant. And every time you ask him, he says, I'll talk to them. And the next week, they're at it again. I remember when I was a kid, we had a neighbor who would come and pick the petals off all the flowers in our yard. I was responsible for the garden. I'd plant them. I'd water them. I'd take care of them. And then every week, I'd come out and find all the petals on the floor. A little boy, he couldn't help himself. He loved the petals. He'd come and pick them all off, one at a time. Okay, so you talk to his father, and he says, I'll tell him to stop. And bottom line, all summer long, we'd have a day or two where we had nice flowers, and then they'd disappear. So they grew more petals, and he'd come pick them off again. Okay, now what? So he's wrong. So now I'm supposed to always be angry at him? And I gave the example of my own son, because it's always easier when it's your own kid, then it's natural to be nice to him. Then it's natural to think what's right for him, not just what do I sense. But the truth is, that's how we should think about other people too. Be it the plumber, be it the next door neighbor, be it the guard, be it the roommate. Can I think of what's right for this person? He's wrong. That's not changing. He's wrong. And he's not changing. And I mentioned it to him, and he's not interested in changing. And I'm suffering from the fact that he's wrong. It bothers me. It hurts me. It affects me. Okay, but does that mean that I therefore will never care for him, and the channels are off, finished? The Torah is teaching us something here. It's a trait of the Rabbon Shalom. We continuously do things wrong. Maybe you haven't yet been to enough Rosh Hashanahs to have that feeling. Last year I thought I'd conquer this trait and I didn't. And the year before I conquered this trait and I didn't. Well, should I give it another shot this year? So that means we've been doing the same thing wrong for a number of years now. And yet we ask Hashem, don't be so upset at me. So we know what we'd want if we were asked. We know how we want Hashem to treat us. We know how we want our neighbor to treat us. So that's a trait we have to learn to develop. That means even though we have our principles, there comes a point where we say, I care for the person, and even though they're trespassing, they're trampling my principles, there comes a point where I say, okay, enough anger.